Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Selma and Benvenuti to everyone else. Welcome to Selma and Louise. And today's topic is on acceptance and ambiguity, if I can pronounce it. So, Selma, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Louise.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, Selma, I wanted us to talk a little bit today about acceptance and ambiguity. And some of it has to do with some of what's going on in our national and international lives, as well as in our personal lives. So, a little context. A couple of weeks ago, my yoga teacher came in. She's an awesome storyteller. It's one of my favorite things about her. And was talking about radical acceptance. And she put it in the context of coming to radical acceptance around a tragic loss that she's recently experienced in her life, a very personal, dramatic, unexpected, and sudden loss. And she was able to weave it in and relate it to what we're all going through on a national and international level, given the politics and circumstances all over the globe. And one of the things that struck me is, like, it really hit a chord. I mean, it really resonated with me in terms of feeling pretty low and sad and depressed around what we see on a daily basis. So it had to do with how to navigate and negotiate and deal with the insanity that we see on a daily basis. So that's a little bit of the context around how I came to this and why I wanted to talk to you, Selma, about acceptance and ambiguity.
So how is that showing up for you right now? What was it that struck you about it personally?
What struck me on a number of levels. What struck me about it is lately, and for months, probably since even before the election. No, it was after the election. A sense of, I wouldn't call it exactly desperation, but I think it's more like having my optimism bubble popped and my belief to the core, struck with things aren't always good and people aren't always good and things don't always look the way I want them to look. And what's interesting about all of this is, as an astrologer and a coach and a yoga teacher, this was hard to deal with. Hard to deal with on the level of generally wanting to see the best in situations and circumstances, and also working with people and trying to get them to shift their own circumstances and see the best. And there's a part of me that doesn't even want to use the word best because that implies some judgment. But working with people and teaching people how to shift their perspective and see what is instead of what we want it to be. And I guess to be reminded of even being a teacher of that, whether it's through coaching, teaching yoga, being a teacher at a university, or as an astrologer, it shook me up a little bit to realize that even I still struggle with that myself. That's what really struck me.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah, well, I mean... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead and finish that up.
I guess some of it is the reminder of how vigilant I have to be, we all have to be, with our practices. Whether it's yoga, whether it's astrology, whether it's meditation, that practice of being mindful coming back to acknowledging our own beliefs and juggling and reconciling when I'm not in acceptance. I mean, bottom line, I'm not in acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really struggling with it.
Well, that's actually
struggling
just what
with,
I was going to ask you. Go
ahead,
what are you struggling with?
Yeah, being in acceptance of what we have as our leader in the United States, and then the implications that has around the world, and the implications that has on on other individuals who had nothing to do with the election, have nothing to do with, you know, our country and the politics, but still, I mean, I guess some of it is just that interconnectedness and that reflection of how we all are interconnected, and that reminder, and on some level, sort of feeling helpless about it, and then wanting to be hopeful, but not feeling very hopeful. So one of the things that this yoga teacher shared with all of us had to do with an article that she read around radical acceptance and how it's related to cognitive behavioral therapy. And there's a piece of cognitive behavioral therapy called dialectical thinking. And the whole premise of the article is around how do we come to radical acceptance without condoning bad behavior? And part of the premise is how to hold at the same time that paradox of human behavior, that we're not all good and we're not all evil, we're not all selfless, we're not all selfish, that, you know, we're all of that at the same time. And how do we see and accept what is without being sucked down into the black hole of feeling helpless and hopeless?
That's a great question. I think that's something a lot of people are struggling with, and I mean, in a whole bunch of different ways and because of different reasons, right? I mean, some people don't think twice about, well, and I mean, we're an American, we have our circumstances and all of that, but it's interesting that you bring this topic up for a lot of reasons, but have you ever studied Byron Katie?
No.
She has a book that's called Loving What Is, and that practice has completely changed my life. She suffered from depression, and I don't want to get the story wrong because I'm not remembering it clearly right now, but she had a significant awakening in her life when she realized that she just has to love what is directly in front of her because that's all she can know. And the practice is to ask yourself, is it true? And it's really, it's about questioning. It's not right or wrong. It's a meditative practice, but you really start to say, is that true? Whatever it is. And she has what she calls Judge Your Neighbor. It's a worksheet. Actually, she has an app too that I really love. But it really causes you to dig in and ask yourself these questions, such a series of questions. But what I love about it is sometimes you end up just laughing at yourself. You're just like, oh my gosh, just examining, you know, those different thoughts that we have all around that. So it's interesting. The part that I say is interesting for me personally that you bring up this topic is over the past week, and I think it links directly back to your point on personal practices. I've been more intentional over the last 6-8 weeks than I have been for a very long time on a number of my practices. And it is so amazing to me how when you actually practice, that it works, right?
Exactly.
Just like everybody says, if you do it. I have a person in my life who really rubs me wrong pretty consistently, and you know who it is. It's a woman in my life. And then I have the national leader that we have now really rubs me wrong. This week, through a series of different practices, including astrology, of course, I just finished congratulations to you on your certification.
Thank you.
But I had more, Yes, I'm proud of you. I had a breakthrough of compassion this week for both people that shocked me. I was so surprised. And I know that it's a direct result of continuing to do these things. Now, does my lizard brain, monkey mind, whatever, when I'm reading the news, do I love to cuss and call him names and say how crazy this is and, you know, all of that? Absolutely. But when I can come back and be centered and trust and find that different place and find compassion, I'm convinced the man is miserable in his job, and the sooner he's impeached, the better off he will be and we all will be. However, I do believe he has a role. And it's not necessarily for us to know. The helplessness, you know, all of that other stuff, that's kind of your stuff, really, when you get down to it, you know, because you're not helpless, really. I know, I understand that feeling. But I'm just sharing with you. I'm not trying to say that you're right or wrong or push back. It's just, it was very interesting to me that as a result, and that's exactly what you said, how do we stay that course? Because we're ever evolving. It's not, we're never going to get there in this lifetime, right?
Exactly.
There is.
Exactly. Speaking of this lifetime, I'm going to try not to bounce around too much, but I finished reading the book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you've read the book. Mm-hmm. I read it in a day. It's a quick read. But back to your point of not ever knowing what the full story is. We don't know the full story. And even having that, those messages always show up, and they really are driven home for me as an astrologer when I look at people's charts and mm-hmm. people ask questions about their charts and they're sometimes struggling with their circumstances, and that's why they want an astrological interpretation on their charts. It's so funny. It's like there is so much shit going on. We cannot even know a fraction of it. And, you know, that's part of the acceptance piece of, and really, you know, kind of shaking me specifically to my core around challenging my own assumptions about, yeah, I've, you know, been doing these practices and, you know, I'm truly working at not being attached. And then when I get slapped across the face with, you are still attached, Louise, I'm just like, mm-hmm. whoa, baby, it's a little disconcerting. It's disconcerting and sometimes like, oh my gosh, I feel like a fraud because here I am working with other people on these things and I don't have it all figured out yet. But that's part of the process too. And yeah, exactly. And so what you're sharing about that woman's book and her app around, you know, what is right in front of me, it's I love seeing all these different sort of theories and methods and approaches linked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and knowing my own astrological chart, that's part of what I do. I look everywhere for connection. And I guess if you're looking for connection, you're going to find connection because we all know you, whatever you're focusing on, you find it.
Well, and as you know, there's so much out there, but we all hear it different. We all need a different message. You know, you and I both dig into these things all the time, and sometimes I'll be like, oh, it's that again. But then I sit back and admire the person who has had the gumption to package it, put it together, and go out and try to sell it and to help other people with their approach, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So that we all don't have to have PhDs in psychology to understand all the different theoretical practices around mindfulness practice or shifting our behavior or how to help ourselves get out of our suffering. And that was one of the other things that jumped out about this particular article had to do with the difference between pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. Pain, we can't avoid it. Suffering is a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And
we create our own suffering.
We do, and I used to love talking about this with my graduate students because one of the first things out of my mouth is, I am not blaming the victim. This is not about blaming the victim and not about letting all of ourselves off the hook for how we're responsible for what is going on in the world. It's coming back to being from that perspective of empowerment that we choose to suffer by what we do with our perspective and what we do with our own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to kind of bounce back and forth between the piece around where we are responsible for our own suffering because of what we do in our own head, but then also how do we hold ourselves accountable for the circumstances in our culture and in the world without falling into despair or taking on more than what we are responsible for. Does that make sense? Do I sound like a lunatic?
No, I think it makes perfect sense. And for me personally, this glimpse over the last few weeks that is so surprising to me is linked directly to that, but also to some of what you were saying before in terms of compassion. And, you know, we read all the time and we hear all the time, the more you love yourself, the more you can accept yourself exactly as you are, the more we can love each other, love others and have more compassion for other people. And I think that's really, really true. And if you, when you really boil it all down, it's back to what you said with the collective consciousness, right? I mean, everything we see outside of us is a result. What we all think is what we all get, right? We have it on an individual level. We have it on a collective level. But just like you were saying, that is what we're seeing in front of us. But I think our job, opportunity, responsibility is to stay in that other place as often as we can. But that's the challenge too, because we're not, none of us are perfect 100%. I mean, and most of us in this lifetime, I mean, I've never met, so there've got to be people who can go off for 20 years and sit under the tree or, you know, whatever. That's one approach. I personally think I would probably find that easier than in a day-to-day living where we're challenged every day, all day with a whole bunch of different things, you know? But back to that compassion piece, and when I was listening to you talk about yourself, and you, I mean, really beating up on yourself by saying, I do this, I do this, I do that. I've known you for a long time, and those moments that you can stay in that place and forgive yourself and not beat up on yourself and the times it happens, exponential to where you were 5 years ago even. Would you agree?
Yeah, and, you know, part of you know, I had a thought pop into my head when you were talking, and now it left, so I'll move on to something else. But, I think part of it has to do with sitting underneath the tree for 20 years and meditating. The reality is, you're right, that would be great for some people, and I agree with you on some level, would be easier. But the thing is, we chose to be in a Western, quote-unquote, advanced civilization where on a daily basis we are engaging with so many different cultures and so many different experiences in our work. And even from the fact that we're in the United States and there's so many different people who have come to this country, who live in this country. So we, on a daily basis, have opportunities to find that compassion, one, with ourselves, and just understand that part of human nature and part of our brains and the way they work is pretty tribal.
That's right. Yeah, and it goes back to that's the paradox too, right? That we're trying to advance,
yes,
evolve, enlighten. And then, but we're still living, yes, within this tribal, many tribal aspects. Absolutely. And the paradox, too, around what we've learned and grown up with around compassion. I know that I struggle with this. If I love myself and I'm compassionate and I forgive myself, well, that means I'm just going to become lazy, fat, you know, dependent, you know, all those things on the other
side. Eating bonbons.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so not true. You know, when we are kinder and gentler to ourselves, that is what we put. But back there, it's to your point, there are so many paradox. Would that be paradox? I'm just joking. Paradox. Plural for paradox.
I don't even know.
This context. But that is the light and the dark, you know, whatever, what goes up must come down. That's the path we're all living, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, one of the notes that I had written down for myself to remember to talk about together with you had to do with, and it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of working with students and understanding our own role and responsibility. Part of it has to do with, in this article, the author makes a point saying that we have to acknowledge the greed and racism that are part of our national fabric. And, you know, and I would drill that down to us acknowledging within ourselves our own greed and our own racism that we have on an individual level, which is so, so hard to own on one level, because like you said, we're all trying to be enlightened, we're all trying to be open-minded, we're all trying to be in acceptance, and it's really hard to realize when that peace actually is in part of us. Is it part of us? And what I want to say about that is, and it's what I used to say to my students too, is when they would complain about the system and always point the finger at the system and the this and the that. And I would say, we are the system. And that's the piece of it, is that until, like your point, until we forgive ourselves for the role and the part of that we bring to the system that creates the dysfunction, we can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's there.
I agree with that.
Because the change has to occur individually in our own perspective. Back to your point, it has to be compassion and looking at what is right in front of me and how am I interacting in the moment from either the place of judging or interacting on some circumstance, wanting it to be different than what it is instead of what it is, like you are sharing.
Well, and in those cases too, guilt and shame, things that we carry around that we don't even know anything about related to a lot of these issues, ironically. But we carry them around anyway, and then we put them back out there, right?
Right.
Yeah, I love
you.
Yeah, it's so true.
Go ahead.
No,
yeah,
I was just acknowledging it's an interesting perspective to your point, but to just, yeah, it's inevitable. Anybody who says they don't have those kind of things, I was in a presentation the other day, and that's what the guy asked, raise your hand if you think you're a racist. I mean, of course nobody wanted to raise their hands. I raised my hands. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a sexist, I'm a racist, I'm so many ists, and I could go down the list right now. I don't want to be, I don't mean to be, I'm not even saying I act on those things, but can I tell you sometimes what the first thought that pops into my head based on many years of who knows what and programming and all of that? That would fall under the definition of whatever, right? Is that
well,
who I really think in my soul and on a day-to-day basis? No.
Well, you know what? That's awesome. And I admire your courage, because it takes a freaking boatload of balls to raise your hand in a group, because they're all liberals. They're all progressives. You know, the last thing that they're going to say is that they are a racist, or that there's any amount of greed in their heart, and that's all not true. And part of busting through all of this and making that shift and being able to see what's real has to do with understanding that we are people, individuals, we are complex webs. You know, there's goodness there, there's love there, there's also selfishness there, there's aggression there. And we can have those opposites exist, and that's part of being wise, and part of learning from the process is being able to, like you said, come into that compassion and understanding that I can be both of those at the same time and sometimes simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And I love using my yoga practice for those opportunities, to be able to be an observer on my mat of watching myself look, sometimes look around the room and start judging and comparing who's doing what,
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing. I mean, and sometimes I find it, I almost want to start laughing because I know I'm doing
mm-hmm.
it. And sometimes I give myself permission to do it.
Exactly.
And then to come back to my own mat and notice
how I can handle the discomfort. And some of it is being mindful of it, of knowing, you know what, I'm intentionally coming out of this pose at this point, and I'm not doing it because I'm trying to avoid the discomfort. I'm doing it because I need a little break from something. I'm going to go out, I'm going to get a little break, and then I'm going to come back to this pose re-energized and being able to then stay longer with the discomfort the next time it shows up.
Good for you. That's a beautiful analogy of how that happens to all of us every day, whether we're driving down the road, we're sitting in a meeting, talking to our spouse, whatever. That is so true. And the courage to examine that and do what you need in that moment.
Exactly. And so, part of our conversations, I always want to be able to, at the end, kind of drill down to an action step. With, you know, an action step for us, an action step for others, to make this applicable and real and concrete. And I guess that would, you know, that's part of it. It's just like, cut yourself some slack. I don't mean you, but just, you know, I'm saying that to myself. You know, cut myself some slack and, you know what, and cut others slack. But I guess, really, I just need to cut myself slack, because if I'm going to cut myself slack, I'll cut others slack. But certainly not condone bad behavior. You know what?
Absolutely.
And on some level, it's like we probably could have another conversation about condoning bad behavior and the challenges of what that looks like and how, you know, on some level, how hard it is not to let myself off the hook and condone bad behavior only because I'm going to say, oh, I'm in acceptance. That's just that's just bullshit.
Yeah, condoning bad behavior and taking care of yourself are very different things.
Maybe
we should have that for our next topic. Yeah.
That does need to be the next topic because, you know, now that I think about it, that is an ongoing theme with individuals and groups that I work with in the workplace around bad behavior.
Yeah, I think it's linked to that helpless feeling that you were talking about earlier. I have a hunch.
And also the part of the helpless piece and also the part of the piece where it takes courage to stand up and call it out. Back to your point of being able to raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm a racist, in a group of individuals that, like, that takes real courage. It takes courage to stand up and call out the bad behavior. Because on some level, we don't want people to turn around and call us out on our own bad behavior.
Again, another paradox.
Exactly. And I think about those conversations that I've had with my life partner around that of, you know, in the moment when things aren't tense, it's like, yeah, I want you to challenge me until I do. And the same thing for me. I want, Thelma, I want you to challenge me until you do. Right?
Ditto. I know.
Exactly. Totally know. And in some level, it's what I love the most and cherish the most about our relationship and our ability to maintain a relationship all these years when things were tense in the Thunderbird, is how you do that for me in such a loving, caring way. Challenge me that I haven't jumped out of the car. And I really didn't drive off the cliff.
Yeah. Well, I feel the same way, but that's knowing each other's hearts. And that goes back to what we were talking about and kind of goes full circle, is to just to try where we can to see others' hearts. And yeah, I mean, there are some people who don't make, who are bad behavior and don't do good things, but.
Exactly.
All
and then,
an opportunity.
You know, the bottom line. Exactly. The bottom line is that, you know, we're all responsible for this world. Thanks, Thelma. It's been a great conversation again. And next week we can talk a little bit more about condoning bad behavior. Thanks.
All right. Until then, take care.
Take care. Ciao.
Bye.